Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Thursday. It is the Looks at Notes, 22nd of April. My name is Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Murr. Luke, how the Jerry hell are you, my friend?
It says here in these notes, I'm doing okay, thanks.
It says here in these notes, has that NASA Mars helicopter floated around Mars yet?
Did you just click on the BBC website at the same time as me?
No. I've been waiting all week for this bloody helicopter to start scooting around the surface of Mars.
Yeah, so apparently it's successfully flown. So for those who don't know, American Space Agency basically wanted to fly. They call it a small helicopter, but it's essentially a drone,
right?
Which they called Ingenuity. They successfully flew it on Mars. It's the first powered, controlled flight by an aircraft on another world. I think that should be bigger news. Everyone knows who the Wright brothers are.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, maybe just the press haven't woken up yet to how big a deal that is.
The press are rubbish at science stuff. I think there's such a disconnect between like what scientists are able to achieve and what newspaper people understand them and how well it's covered.
Right, okay, yeah. Look, I will say that I've read two new stories this morning about the one was NASA flying a helicopter on another planet, and the other one is discovering that if you say to your Tesla, "Open butthole," the rear side marker lamp mounted charge port will open. So I know which one I'll be thinking about longer. That you can ask your car to open its own arse.
Who's designed that to be the case?
The Tesla people. They're fun guys. They make flamethrowers and, you know, get involved in Bitcoin. Mate, they are wacky fuckers.
Do you reckon it'll be insufferable working at Tesla?
Yeah, I think I think it'd be insufferable working for any big company who thinks they're fucking stylish. who are invariably more stylo than substance in many ways.
Going back to the drone on Mars, which is incredible.
Does it open its butthole at any moment? Does it open its? It's got to charge somehow, hasn't it?
That's true. Apparently, there's also been an approved mission, which is going to happen sometime, I think, in the next 10 years. For a helicopter mission to Titan, which is the biggest moon of Saturn, and has amazing potential for all sorts of different scientific interest. So they're pressing on. They ain't stopping. They're not resting on their laurels. This is not an end game for them. They're going, right, where can we go next?
I just think that they're looking at companies like Amazon, who just will not calm the fuck down, and they're just constantly thinking about different ways of and Tesla as well. You know, companies who are just thinking of different ways to sort of do stuff that just generally involve more gyroscopes and helicopter blades. So I think NASA are just getting on board and going, "Hey, we invented a lot of this aeronautics bullshit, so we're going to fly all the way to Titan."
How would you like to see Amazon calm down?
I think they could pay some tax. That would be good, wouldn't it?
You've approached this question seriously.
Yeah, it's just all autonomous driverless fucking lorries and kind of like, you know, people, you know, and the drivers they do have pissing in bottles and stuff. Like, just paying a fair wage and decent working conditions and paying tax would be a good start, because at the end of the day, they're not quite there with just having robots working for them. They've still got to use humans at some point. So, yeah, I mean that. And I say that with the fact that I've that bell at the door. saw was probably a couple of pillows I just ordered from Amazon. But you know what it is. They've had a great year. They've had a fantastic year this year. And no one can deny them that.
I got an email from Amazon as you were making that point, genuinely. Mm. That's the problem, isn't it? That's part of the problem.
They are on it, aren't they? Presumably, chances are we're probably on an Amazon server, probably got someone listening to us recording the podcast. Go on, you're not putting that in, are you? Better take that out, mate. What did they say on the email?
Oh, it's just something's been delivered. I think it's toilet paper.
Luke, that wasn't interesting. I thought you were going to give us a little pretend that the hand of Bezos was going to like come down and splatter us.
I'll tell you what it is if you want, but it doesn't tell you on the email, does it? No, it is. It's toilet paper. It's depressing. Speaking of depressing, did you read the story about it's been reported in the Daily Record? So I think I'm legally about to. I'm legally allowed to say this because I think he's admitted to it.
Okay.
You see that David Tennant has essentially been accused, or basically he's revealed that he had a fictional personal assistant for quite a long time.
And right, yes.
He said he invented a name of a person called Melissa von Stressel, right, to act like a, quote, buffer to have awkward conversations I didn't want to have, right? And he would say, I find it very difficult to say no to anyone, so I would basically respond as Melissa to say that I couldn't come and open a fete or do an inspirational talk, and I didn't know where to begin, so I just I did it this way. Is that so? Basically, exactly that happens in the
Mrs. Doubtfire
vehicle.
And he's Scottish.
Say again?
Oh, right, yes. Mrs. Doubtfire. I just sort of think, because he's Scottish, and I go, hello, dear, I'm so sorry. He can't go and judge the garden fate.
Yeah, part of me is like, that's a bit weird and you know, I mean, fine. But the other part of me, you've hit onto something I was going to say, which is basically that David Tennant's an actor, right? So it would actually be quite an easy thing for him to do, to just pretend to be someone else and do it on the phone. But presumably, because he's invented a female personal assistant, he's doing it all on email, which I think is a waste of his talent, personally.
Definitely, and also like quite he's sort of cheaping out a little bit, because he could just hire a personal assistant who flat bats away a load of stuff. So look, he could be doing that. I know Annika Rice did it. She actually when she was fired by her agent, she made her own fictional agent called Clemmy Hart, I believe.
Right.
Idea. And she would kind of drum up support, drum up jobs, you know, negotiate, presumably over email. I don't know whether she ever did it over the phone, which would probably, I don't know how good an actor Annika Rice is. She loved a helicopter. She'd be up for an Attack on Titan.
Annika Rice,
build a hospital for some kids. Lovely.
That's the thing about Annika Rice. If you sent her up in a helicopter to Titan, she would almost certainly over deliver.
She would, yeah. She'd over-deliver in record time.
I think I'm fairly certain, and I'm not going to name names because I don't think it would be appropriate. I'm fairly certain there's someone I worked with in the past who isn't very talented and is a complete blagger and has got themselves to a far higher level than they deserve to, even though that level isn't very high. I'm fairly certain. I thought it at the time, and I still think it now. They invented an agent, or they've got someone who does stuff for them that isn't actually
look, if you keep talking about this, my agent Stephen
you got dropped by your agent years ago, everyone knows that.
Okay, you just stopped being an agent.
Yeah,
say I'm gonna go and live in the south of France. I was like, right, good for you, mate. Knock yourself out.
Is that what actually happened?
Yeah, he stopped being an agent, and I said, well, look, if anybody else at the agency fancies taking me on. And he made it very clear nobody was.
So you made yourself so unbankable that your agent quit the industry.
Well, you know what? The thing is, Luke, I am not and never have been pushy. I'm not interested in a career. I find work annoying best. I want to do as little as possible for as much money as I possibly can. And things like VO jobs, things like a radio job was kind of that job. But the problem with like having an agent just to negotiate One job, because in radio you're only ever allowed one job. People won't let you do, you know, I couldn't do a show for Six Music, I couldn't do a show for
Right, so once he's got you in the bag, he's enough more money.
So once
he's
got you in
you.
The bag, he's made as much money as he can, really. Unless he wants to genuinely try and sell me in on projects that, to be quite frank, you know, I'm not a good looking man. I'm not a good presenter. What's the point? Why wouldn't he go for someone who he knows is popular and easier sell than me?
Yeah.
And you know, and fits better. So yeah, there was literally no point in me having.
I accept
an
that,
agent
Pete,
at
but
that
he's
point.
Not got to leave the industry. I mean, that's an overreaction.
but he whenever there was any negotiations to be had, he was tip top. I would just because of admin, and I can't be asked admin. I just go, can you invoice for that? Can you? And he'd take 10%, 15% just for doing the admin. And
be
I was
honest,
happy with that situation.
Did you keep an eye on how many percents he was taking?
No, God no. He could have been creaming unbelievably.
No wonder he's moved to the south of France.
No, exactly. So, yeah, he's in the south of France now. He said, yeah, I'm off. And I was like, okay, cool.
Fucking Monte Carlo, probably.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, we have got an agent now.
To come and get me.
It's a different agent. We have got an agent now. It's a different one though. Yeah. Not him. I mean that guy's
not him.
Just
he's
just passing through the industry by the sound of it.
He was great. He got a lovely little dog. Lovely little dog on Instagram. I follow. Very, very nice man.
There's no hard feelings.
One of the few good agent stories I think we've all got. Bearing in mind, my past agents on more than one occasion have tried to sort of pass off a job that I've sent their way. As their own industry, very much like the Extras Ricky Gervais character that Stephen Merchant plays.
Darren Lamb.
Where he pretends that he's gone out and found some work for me, when in fact I've gone out and found the work and threw it his direction. Fantastic.
Why did you throw it his direction?
The balls on him. Because, again, I just want things to be done properly. I don't want to be invoicing myself and negotiating myself. That's what they're there for. But it just made me laugh that they went, oh, Pete, I found you some work with this guy. And I was like, he's my mate, and I got that work. And I said, yo, you bell, you found me nothing, idiot.
Well, by the way, talk to me about how your hair's going. I told you I cut my nose off to spite my face, didn't I?
What do you mean? As in, you...
Well, I got the arsehole with the local hairdresser who I've frequented regularly before pandemic, and they kind of gave the impression that they say again.
Is he off to the south of France? He's out of there.
Yeah, he said he's so fed up of cutting my hair that he's leaving the industry. No, I used them regularly before the pandemic, and they gave me the impression that I was a valued customer, right? And then they said that. I called them up to get an appointment once they all opened again. They said, we've got nothing available till like the start of June. And I was like, well, how's that possible? I mean, you know, I've literally rung you a day after the announcement's been made. And yeah, they said, well, we sent an email out to all of our valued clients and it got booked up really fast. And I was like, okay, so I didn't get an email, so you're implying that I'm not a valued client, even though I come all the time and I've got quite thick hair. I didn't say that, but
I've got thick hair is the lamest little bit of protestation I've ever heard.
I didn't say that bit.
You should use that in everything. Any negotiations. I would like to make it clear that you are talking to a person who has very thick hair.
What I'm saying is, it makes sense, sir. I didn't say that specifically, but if you think about it, it's perfectly logical. Look, you're losing your hair, Pete Dawson. I'm not, right? That's a fact, right?
Don't start lashing out. Just because Mr. Thick Hair, your head's getting too warm.
All right.
Because you all hair up on you and your brain's gone hot.
I'm overheating. Okay, listen, I won't use you. I'll take you out the firing line. Fine. Think of me and then think of someone of my age who's really thinning on top, right? That's not a long-term investment for them. What, they're going to get 3 or 4 haircuts left max out of them?
Right,
you're going to get me for life.
I see. Yeah.
You should be protecting
me. Yeah.
I'm very bankable.
Very bankable. Yeah, but then you do have a kind of... You can get away with looking quite unkempt for a very long time. When I was in Undercut Boulevard, a boulevard I should really return to, because I look terrible at the moment with my ponytail.
I don't think an undercut's going to help it, mate, if I'm being honest.
No, it's not ideal. I think that you can carry an unkempt hair kind of hair situation. Really, you'd look all right when it's a bit longer.
No, it's a pain though. And I think
month. I used to go to Mr. Toppers every month when I had an undercut.
You are steampunk in the streets, Peaky Blinders in the sheets, though, right? So you need to keep your hair pretty fucking kept, because otherwise you're going to lose that Peaky Blinders look.
Yeah, that I invented myself, me and Jack Grealish, yeah.
Are you still a fan of Peaky Blinders?
I've never seen a single episode, Luke. I think you know that.
If you could only watch one TV show between now and the rest of your life, would it be Peaky Blinders or Only Fools and Horses?
I'd probably be Peaky Blinders. The thing I was talking about Peaky Blinders yesterday, and it reminds me of when I was at a wedding about 5 years ago. An Australian woman going, "Oh my God, you got hair like..." Well, she's Australian, not...
That's
South
an
African.
You got hair like
Peaky Blinders. Have you seen Peaky Blinders? But you kept on saying, "Far out." And she's got, "Oh man, it's far out. You should watch it. It's far
so
out."
Hang on a minute. She's Australian, but she punctuates her South African accent with some American accent phrases.
Yeah, true.
What did you say?
I have no interest in Peaky Blinders. But I would say that...
There's no way you disagree with her. You never disagree with anyone you don't know very well.
But I just always thought, I think with Peaky Blinders, is one of those shows that it just feels a bit too BBC to ever be dangerous.
Yeah,
and I automatically don't like that sort of caper, and it's pathetic.
Yeah,
really,
you always think in the back of your mind, nothing truly seismic or horrific's going to happen here because it's the BBC, and they won't do it.
Yeah.
If it's HBO, you never know what you're going to get.
Exactly, they're going to kill off loads of different characters in the most bloody horrible way, and do whatever they want. I just think with the BBC, they have to be, you know, it's the same network that gives you Strictly.
Yeah, that is very true. And I also think they have to, they can't do anything like off the beaten track different these days, I don't think, which is a shame. But when we see, I don't want to be seen as like an old guy complaining about the BBC, because I do like the BBC, but sometimes they don't help themselves, do they?
they really don't.
Anyway, let's have a break. When we come back, we're going to do some battery brands, see if we've got some new players, and we'll also do round off the week's emails as well, which will be bloody exciting, so don't miss it, and we'll see you in a minute.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, "I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit," and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Yeah.
Join us on the Football Ramble as we explore the ridiculous world of football. We bring in-depth analysis of the biggest moments, like Bruno Fernandes' one-eyed penalties.
Sounds like a Metallica song.
Yeah, it does.
But obviously, like, one eye open.
But if you have one eye closed, you know your perception. So imagine if you tried the dink and it just like went like 2 feet in front of him.
Yeah. Every weekday, we cover the good, the bad, and the Newcastle.
Although Shelby wasn't surprised either. He said the way they play isn't great.
And you couldn't fucking beat him, could you?
Could Shelby be the mole?
Didn't Bruce accuse the mole of treason?
To the Geordie Nation.
Yeah.
Putting the football world to rights.
If you want to put a message on a T-shirt under your shirt, slag it off your mind.
Yeah.
That is an absolute minefield in the dressing room. Yeah.
Don't worry, lads. I'll put it in another language. Do you know how many languages that man speaks?
With Roy. Yeah. I might wash with Roy.
We're here with the biggest stories from the sport we love, and we want you to get involved too. Search the Football Ramble on your favourite podcast player to listen now.
This was a Stakhanov production.
We're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. Pete Donaldson with you, joined by Luke Aaron Moore. Luke, before we get to the battery brands, speaking of batteries, how much space do you reckon the US saved by switching from chunky cathode ray tube televisions to LCDs?
How much what did they save?
How much space? How much volumetric space has the US saved by switching from those big chunky TVs of yesteryear to the LCDs that you and I enjoy?
That's a really good question. That's a brilliant question. I reckon the answer is going to be amazing.
Someone sat down and worked it out incredibly.
Yeah. So basically, they've just taken the dimensions. They've basically taken the amount of TVs that have been bought LCD wise and taken into account the change in the dimensions and then worked out the overall space. I reckon it's like millions of square feet.
But remembering, of course, that the LCD televisions are generally larger, so that, you know, they've got bigger screen scribe by a fair whack as well. So I'll tell you, 1997, the average TV screen size was 27 inches. That was the average TV size in 1997,
right.
And they were all pretty much those kind of screens. And then in 2018, the average TV screen size is 47 inches.
Ooh,
isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
The average TV, that's big.
Americans' houses are big, though.
True. So you've gone from 6 cubic feet to 1.6 cubic feet with the difference differing in dimensions. So for the same amount of TVs, the amount of space saved comes to around about 32,000 Boeing 747s.
Wow. 32,000 Boeing 747s of space. And what are they doing with that space?
Getting
a new national park.
Getting some more LEDs put up or something. I don't know what people have in the house anymore.
Right.
I had a meeting with a kitchen supplier, Wren Kitchen.
Don't go with Wren.
I'm glad our new sponsor, Wren, is sponsoring the show. Why don't I go with Wren? Why did you not enjoy the Wren experience?
It's only my opinion. It's a personal opinion. And when I had my new kitchen done, which is only a couple of years ago, we explored all the main ones. And I'm going to turn this into a positive. I'm going to say the best one we were told about and the result and the installation and the price was fantastic was Wix.
Wix, right, okay. But presumably you have to install it yourself, get your own kind of labour around.
It's all taken care of, brother.
What?
Yeah.
Well, the South African man who was in Wren amused me greatly because the house that we're buying, it's got a very old kitchen and, you know, the price has been priced down accordingly. And this big bit, so the work surface is all wood. Lovely bit. I mean, it's all right. It's a nice bit of wood, but it's terribly water damaged. It's like blistered and kind of the water's got into it and they've not sealed it properly and all that jazz.
Right.
But this guy, like, we showed the guy at Wren a picture of like this of the kitchen that we're going to be replacing, and he was obsessed with this fucking bit of wood. It was like going, there's such a lovely bit of wood. What you need to do, don't go here, go elsewhere, find yourself a guy who knows about the wood and get him to plane it down and reseal it, and you could have a lovely beautiful piece of wood for your kitchen. And he's got a bit of Zimbabwean.
He sounded a bit like the woman who was talking about your hair earlier.
Yes, exactly. But he was obsessed. And every time we tried to talk about, you know, cabinets and, you know, getting, a, you know, the fridge installed here and there, he just kept on bringing it back to the... I cannot labour this. If your dad wanted to, just give me a ring, I'll come round with a ven and I'll take that bit of wood away. He's obsessed with this bit of fucking wood. He just kept on... Who was selling who the kitchen? That's what I wanted to know. It was very interesting.
When we got our kitchen... Obsessed. Listen, here's how good Wickes are. When we did our kitchen, we got this nice piece of wood for the work surface and they slightly miscalculated how much we'd need, right?
Right.
And they also undercharged us for the wood because they measured it up and said you'll need this amount, and somewhere along the line it got processed wrong and we had loads more wood than we needed. And rather than take it back again, it's a beautiful piece of, I think it's maple, thick maple. The guys who installed the kitchen, who were this amazing team of Bulgarian carpenters.
Acrobats.
they made a nice big cheese board for us out of it and a coffee table.
Oh, the coffee table's a nice touch. I reckon I could fashion a cheese board out of it.
No, but you've got to sand it, you've got to seal it, you've got to do all the right stuff. It's got to be done properly. And the coffee table, Mimi finished off, but they basically let us keep it, essentially. And it's nice. Expensive stuff, that stuff.
Yeah, no, I bet. Between working for local government and working for radio, we were talking about this, isn't it? Like, the... you sort of like look back at your life and you kind of forget the kind of like the wilderness kind of couple of years that you kind of don't know what you're doing and you're trying to sort of forge a path, but you're a little bit unsure and you're just trying to sort of maintain some level of kind of income. And I remember going for a job at a timber yard, and it was like near Finsbury Park, I think,
right?
Just this little timber yard. But it's because I was moving from local government and I was on, you know, 30 grand going down to 50 quid a day at XFM, which didn't get increased by a huge amount as it went on. But I was getting paid a pittance at XFM, but I really wanted to work there. And so I had to work other jobs. And that kind of going for a job at a timber yard, just kind of walking in and sort of going, and the man showing me where all the timber came from in Scandinavia and stuff like that. It's like, I could have been a timber man. It could have gone the other way.
What would you have actually been doing there?
I think it was some kind of marketing. I can't remember, to be honest. It was I wasn't like operating the buzzsaw or anything, but I just remember sort of going, this is weird. I wasn't going from marketing executive at a London based Quango.
If you want an example of the disgusting wastage at local government level, it's Pete Donaldson on 30 grand a year in 2003. Unbelievable. I cannot believe what you would have been bringing to the table, with respect, in 2003 for 30k a year. That's almost 20 years ago.
Astonishing. Yeah, but it was a quang. I mean, look, it was private. It was effectively private sector. I was owned by a company. I was, you know, it wasn't as if that was very much a private company making the money. So imagine if I was on the payroll of just the local government doing what I was doing. Terrible, terrible business. Yeah,
could have been worse. Oh, by the way, before producing that as a coronary, I've got to do these battery brands.
I said
I would do them. Martin Salmon has sent in Camelion batteries. I've looked at them and I don't specifically remember the name, but I do recognise the picture, so I'm going to say not a new player. Sorry, Martin. Damien Murray has sent in two types. He sent in Duraday, which definitely are not new players, and he's also sent in Toy State, which I believe are.
I think the first ones, I don't recognise the name, but I recognise the vibe, if I think it's fair to say.
I'm going to give Damien one out of two there, and Kieran Ross has sent in Golden Power. We saw Golden Power for the first time in 2009. Sorry, Kieran, you're way wider than mark there. Golden Power is not a new player. So out of the four, Camelion, Duraday, Golden Power and Toy State, it is the latter of those, Toy State, that is officially a new player entering the game.
Beautiful. Get it on the list. Fantastic stuff. Shall we get an email?
Yeah, squeeze an email in. Why not?
Let's squeeze an email up. Patrick, with a surname that has been redacted for future job reasons. Hello, chaps. Great show, long time listener, still stuck in lockdown here in Dublin, so the continuing stream of battery and steampunk related content has given me the boost I need. I enjoy that we have cornered the market on steampunk content, but neither of us really know what it is. Listening to a previous show where a listener mentioned the paper in hand walk around the office ploy to look busy, something that Luke Moore on more than one occasion has employed, it reminded me of a tactic my friend and I used to do when we were actually allowed in offices. When we worked in telesales on an open planned floor, surfing the World Wide Web, it was forbidden as we needed to be constantly dialing or emailing prospective clients. Therefore, we created an ingenious solution which allowed us to continue scrolling football and comedy websites whilst giving the illusion of grafting hard for the business. All we had to do was find the article we wanted to read, copy it in full, and paste it into a new email correspondence at work. Whenever the top brass was mulling about, it would simply appear we were working hard sending out emails. This only backfired on me once when my boss came over unexpectedly, and in a rush to close the email, I ended up sending it out. Cue an awkward email exchange with a current client as to why I'd sent them that day's BBC Sports gossip column.
Amazing.
Look, enriching the lives of your clients. Very enjoyable. P.S. On a previous show, you speculated what Downing Street was like. On my job after telesales, I worked in providing photocopiers. Wait a minute.
Patrick's saying that you should redact the photocopying part. So
after saying photocopy,
yeah, I mean, but I mean, look, I'm keeping it in. A random man sold photocopies photocopies to the government. You're not going to get in trouble for that, Patrick. I think you're being too cautious.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. We understand that Downing Street needs photocopiers, and men sell photocopiers. There's no trade secrets here.
Yeah,
suffice
to
say, it was always an amazing experience. It's like the TARDIS as you enter. It's huge in all directions. I also met the former resident cat, Ollie, and used to give him a good stroke whilst I waited for engineers to fix the copiers. Lovely old job. Fantastic.
I love the idea of just sitting in the very nucleus of power and just sitting there casually stroking a cat. very Bond villain. Thanks for that, Patrick. I mean, I can only say that when I worked at a call centre back in the day, the only website that wasn't blocked for some reason was the Guardian website. So you'd spend all your time like reading music reviews, film reviews. But yeah, exactly. It was ideal, actually.
Lots of content.
I don't know why that slipped through the net, but it did. But it was before social media, a lot of
football websites and stuff used to have a boss key function. Do you remember? There used to be like a thing you could click on every page. There's a little cross, and it would change into like an Excel spreadsheet or something.
Oh, that's
some
nice.
Video
yeah.
games had it as well. I like that a lot. SimCity, yeah. I think, had one maybe.
I remember Fantastic. A forum I used to frequent had the quick boss. Button where you click on it, it flicks up an Excel graph. Yeah,
is that Football 365?
It might have been, yeah. I never had any use to be looking at a graph. It basically, if I was looking at a graph, people would be like, "What are you doing? Like,
what is he doing?"
That's less like the work he should be doing in a fucking internet forum, sadly. Anyway, Pete Donaldson, that's
BMI?
It.
Right.
That's
right.
It for us, isn't it?
Yeah, let's get out of it. I mean, this has been the Thursday edition of the Luke and Pete Show. We'll be back on Monday with more of this. Keep your battery brands coming in. I want to know stuff like, have we ever seen a dinosaur's willy? Have we ever... seen
there's loads helicopters of questions to another
asked.
Planet
exactly helicopters to other planets, all kinds of stuff. Send them all in, and we'll see you on Monday. All right,
yeah, don't forget, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com on the email, @lukeandpeteshow on the Twitter and the Instagram, and as Pete says, we'll see you on Monday. Have a lovely weekend, thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you soon.
Oh, it's a lovely bit of wood. Give me a wood.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.